Take us through an investigation. What do you do? How do you set up the equipment? What kind of equipment do you use?
Okay, well, the Spirits of St. Petersburg really tries for a dignity and integrity and respect for the potential deceased as well as the living. And so ultimately what we do is there's one person who's a contact who gets the information. I actually am usually the contact, but I have something that's known as a homeowner's document, which lists phenomena for homeowners to check off. We usually do have to ask somewhat personal information, which we don't share, but things along the lines of, is the homeowner on any form of medication or, is alcohol a factor with these manifestations?
Right.
But kind of the general information. Ultimately, I take that information and I seal it away. The next thing that we do is we find a date that works well for the homeowner and for us. Ultimately, the rest of the team is invited on the investigation, but they are not given the address or homeowner name until a couple of hours before the investigation. The only thing they have is a general crossroad, the major crossing street, so that they know exactly what the approximate location is, if not the location itself. So usually one person goes in knowing anything that's going on. And I'm not always the contact, so I've also gotten to go in cold so that I have no background or information. But to keep anyone from spilling information, we have a standard procedure in which we essentially break into groups of three. Oftentimes, it's very important to remain within these groups because if you're a person like myself, I get so involved with this equipment. I'm paying attention with the equipment. I'm trying to coordinate an investigation that I do have people who tell me, if you keep moving forward, you're going to walk into the coffee table, So it's important to have people helping each other out and keeping an eye on each other. Plus, if something does happen, you want as many eyes as possible present. And I've oftentimes found that if you only have two people, there's a possibility that one will miss something. And so if you have two, at least the odds are a bit higher that more than one person will witness. It's also a protection for us because we can witness each other in the sense that I can vouch for the team that they're not setting anything up. They can vouch for me that I'm not setting anything up, which is pretty important.
Sure is.
Afterwards, we basically have the procedure of going to the furthest point in our groups of three and moving forward and then ultimately trading spots in what's called a silent walkthrough, in which folks are writing down sensations, readings, any abnormal or natural readings are called out, light switches, EMF from older refrigerators, computer screens that are older, that type of thing, so that we know the natural boundaries. Where energy is naturally emitted, and we'll know where our readings might be negated. Afterwards, we come back together, starting in kind of an orderly fashion. Each person reads their notes to the rest of the group, and we decide what areas are the most active. We return to those areas, and we do our investigation pretty much concentrated in those areas. We've had to do that because pretty much everybody on the spirits team has a day job, and the homeowners also have day jobs, and our investigation started stretching into hours and hours and hours and hours. So this kind of keeps it condensed to a nice 3-hour time span. It also can be very draining to do these investigations where, particularly in an active entity, it's hard to describe, but definitely there's an energy transfer going on. Ultimately, we investigate those areas. We come back, we're communicating with each other as we're investigating these hot spots of activity. Size sensitives are going, our equipment is going. We try and get as much information, as many eyes as possible working with this. We come back together. We tell the homeowner first what we have discovered. I then read off the homeowner's document, and then the homeowner tells us what we have or have not hit upon. And it seems to work very well. We're trying to kind of cover as much as we can in a short amount of time, also trying to keep the investigations very neutral. We will come back to a location, oftentimes investigating it 2 to 3 times to see if we can find natural occurrences, things that are repeated, things that we can rule out as natural phenomena. And ultimately, after the first investigation, oftentimes there's a historical research. I have various group members who have connections and are very good researchers on the area.
Right.
And we try and discover if there's any overlapping history that correlates with the investigation. And it tends to work very, very well for us.
When you do this with the kinds of equipment that you have, do you get results right away?
Oftentimes, yes. Normally what we will do is we'll open and close an investigation. Now, the spirits of St. Petersburg does not really invoke or evoke, and we do not do exorcisms. So we're really there as a documenter. Also to keep us kind of on the straight and narrow, I do have an open call out in the greater Tampa Bay and Florida area, really, for non-haunted houses. Usually, since I'm the contact, I'm the only one that has any idea as to what is going on. And because the group knows that most often we are called into a location, I have found that this works to keep us from becoming expectant, that we're always going to expect to find a haunting, because you toss in these random non-haunted houses, you perform the exact same procedure, and it's quite amazing to see what happens. Half the time I'll have people coming up to me saying, and I can't, you know, there's no way to tell anybody anything. The good thing about ghost hunting and paranormal investigation is you learn to have a good poker face.
Absolutely. Have you ever felt, though, unwelcome by the entity?
Yes. On occasion, definitely so. We had one entity that was basically of a religious background, that there is no such thing as a ghost, could not figure out why it was there and did not want us there and did not want to talk to us because what we were doing was, in its opinion, completely wrong. There is a standing rule. We are not there to antagonize anybody, and if the entity becomes angry or hostile, normally we kind of back off. A couple of times we've been able to kind of talk the entity down in the sense of calming it down.
It's smart to back off. Not nice to upset a ghost, is it?
No. If you're dealing with the supernatural, always remain on the side of caution and try and make sure that it's happy when you leave.
What's the most violent you've ever witnessed or even heard about in a ghost story?
Oh, well, there was one investigation that was extremely active, again, with actually there were a couple. Again, these both dealt with suicide. Now, we've had a third suicidal case in which the entity was completely harmless, but she wanted her art displayed. The only time she became upset was when her art was taken down and something else was put up, and she would start pulling these things off the wall, which
really?
Was really interesting.
They would just fly off the wall?
Yeah, they would pop off the nails, and the nails wouldn't hold them, and the wires would snap, and so the homeowners would put her work back up.
And everything calmed down?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was basically, it was a niece of the homeowner, and she'd always been kind of a black sheep of the family, as was the homeowner himself, much more of an artistic type, and she evidently found out she had signs and symptoms of a pretty severe mental illness and committed suicide.